Margie is heartbroken over her attempt to help Myrtle by cutting the top button off Mert's letter number coat and then sewing it back on with black thread. Captain O'Toole forced her to admit her trick and twisted her action into damaging evidence against Mert. Then the newspapers reported that O'Toole had found new witnesses and had provided an alibi for Mrs. Hunt. Jack Arnold and Mert realize that the captain is slowly tightening the noose around Mert, whom he wants to prove guilty of the murder of Ray Hunt. Now, in just a moment, we'll go on with today's episode and the story of Mert and Marge. A day has gone by. It's the following night. In the district attorney's office, Captain O'Toole, who has just come in, is very elated as he says to Jack Arnold.
Well, Arnold, my man Eddie picked up Jimmy Minter. We caught him hanging around the theater trying to see his sister tonight.
Have you questioned him, O'Toole?
They just brought him over here and I haven't had a chance yet. He says he wants to see you. When you get through with him, I'll sweat him. He can probably tell us a lot of things.
Is he out there now?
Mm-hmm.
Send Minter in here.
Hello, Mr. Arnold.
Hello, Jimmy.
Gee, I'm glad to see you.
Well, you've turned up again, huh, Jimmy? And in trouble again, huh?
Well, I wanted to see you before, but tonight Mert gave me the $50. She told me to get out of New York and stay out. I haven't done anything to make me stay away, though. I've got some valuable information for you, Mr. Arnold.
You hear that? He says he's got some valuable information. Oh, well, well.
Just a minute, O'Toole. Jimmy, tell me, did you or did you not go to California?
Why, I didn't go, Mr. Arnold.
I warned you, Jimmy. I bought your ticket and I gave you some extra money to help you get started. I took you to the station, and I told you that you need never expect any more help from me, and that from now on, you'd have to be on your own.
Oh, Mr. Arnold, I don't want any money.
And if you did, you wouldn't get any. Now tell me, why didn't you go to California?
Well, when I was at the station that day waiting for the train, I met a couple of fellas I knew pretty well.
Some of your old buddies?
No, they weren't exactly friends of mine. I met them around New York. They asked me where I was bound for, and I told them I was going to California to get a job. They told me I was crazy if I went to California. That there wasn't any place to live. The two friends of theirs had been there for months and couldn't even find a room.
I gave you a note to a fellow out there who owned a garage. He could have found you a job and a room.
Yeah, but listen, Mr. Arnold.
Go on, tell me about it.
Well, I got to talking to these fellas, and they were going down to Miami. One of them was a trainer with a fellow who owns a string of racehorses.
All right, go ahead. I'm following you. What about him?
Well, this guy says, why don't you go along with us? We can show you how to make some easy dough down there. So I said I'd like to, but I had a ticket to California. What would I do with it? And one of the guys said, that's easy. So he went with me to the ticket seller and they redeemed the ticket. So I takes the money and gets on a train to Miami with these guys. When we get down there, we go out to the racetrack every day. And this fella connected with the stable owners gives me some tips.
And you followed the tips, I suppose.
Well, I went kind of slow at first. I just placed a little bet here and there.
And you lost, of course.
Yeah, but I played along and I did win a little one day. And well, I dropped some the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Then this guy, Harvey was his name, he tells me that there's a horse sure to come in the next day and for me to put the wad on that horse.
Did you?
Yeah.
And you lost, of course.
No, the nag won.
Well, well, this is getting very interesting.
I won $1,000, Mr. Arnold.
Huh? All right, and what did you do the next day?
Well, not much. I lost a little bit. Then a few days later, Harvey tells me he's got the hottest tip of the season. A long shot.
Yes, yes. Go on, Jimmy.
So we went out to the track, and it's almost time for the race. And Harvey says, say, Minter, you'd better be getting your money down on that horse.
Mm-hmm.
So I goes up to the window, and I was about to put my money down. And, well, there was a nice-looking old gent there right behind me. And he says, what are you playing, kid? And I says, Flashmore. And he says, you better get your head examined. That horse hasn't got a chance. So they're shoving in the line behind me, and I let the old gent get ahead of me, and he puts $500 in a horse called Rain in the face. It just then it started to rain, so I thought it was a good hunch. So I put 500 berries on the same horse, and he won.
I thought you said this kid was a fool.
Just a minute, O'Toole. We're coming to that. Where did Flossmore come in?
Last. He fell down in the stretch.
So the next day, this Harvey had another hot tip for you, and he told you to be sure and put your bankroll on this one, huh?
Yeah.
So you went out to the track, and they cleaned you.
No, the other guys went out to the track, and I counted my moolah, and I was $3,000 to the good.
What?
So I gets on a train bound for New York, and here I am, Mr. Arnold, and I still got the money, except what I've been living on.
Will wonders never cease?
Yeah, and that's why I've been waiting to see Marge. I want to pay her back some of the money I owe her, and, well, I'm going to give you some too, Mr. Arnold.
This sounds like a fairy tale.
Well, it's the truth, and what's more, I got a job.
Well, where, Jimmy?
Over in Newark, New Jersey.
What kind of a job?
Well, it ain't much, but I'm getting $40 a week. driving a laundry wagon.
With $3,000 in your pocket?
Oh, it ain't in my pocket. It's in the bank. And, by the way, I've got some information for you, Mr. Arnold.
Yes, and this Spear girl probably knows it. That's why she wanted to get you away.
Oh, I haven't seen Mert. She doesn't even know anything about it.
Well, what is it? Come on, what is it?
Just a minute or two.
Well, I've been reading the papers all about this Hunt murder. And, mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was over at the theater that night to see Marge, but that old Pat, the doorman, wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, we know all about that.
And I read of the arrest of that dancer, Vivian. That thing didn't kill Hunt, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, you know she didn't, huh?
Yeah, I know she didn't.
Now, just a minute, Jimmy. You came into the stage door, and you say Pat told you to get out.
Yeah, and I've been reading where Hunt was slumped down in his chair with one hand in his pocket, and I got to figuring something out.
Yeah?
After the doorman put me out the first time, I hung around for a minute or so and walked up to the street, figuring I might wait until after the show to see Marge when she came out.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got to figuring it'd be too late because I have to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning for my job. So I stood out in front of the theater a few minutes looking at the pictures to see if I could find Marge's photo. Then I went back again. And as I went in the stage door, I saw Vivian open the door of that office at the other end of the corridor and go in. When she opened it, I saw Hunt sitting in a chair all slumped down. She left the door open a minute and said something to him, and, well, he didn't answer it. Then she closed the door.
Well, did she see you, Jimmy?
No, I don't think so.
Well, how do you know it was Vivian Clark?
By the pictures in the paper today. I didn't know it before.
Hmm. How long was she in that room, Jimmy?
I don't know. There wasn't anybody in that office where the doorman usually sits, and I didn't see anybody else in the corridor, so I went outside.
Where did you go?
Oh, I walked up to the street again and moseyed around for a while, thinking it was funny they wouldn't let a guy in to see his own sister. Then I see this Vivian girl come out the stage door and turn up 45th Street.
What was her general appearance?
Well, she's a good-looking dame, all right, but she looked awful white, and her eyes were kind of staring. But, oh, gee, Mr. Arnold, I had no idea that guy in the chair was dead.
Well, Arnold, there's another one of your theories knocked into a cocked hat. Voluntary alibi for Vivian, and we've got all the dope straight in Mrs. Hunt. There's two of them that had nothing to do with the killing of Hunt.
I'm not so sure, O'Toole. Jimmy, are you sure you've told the truth?
Oh, honest, Mr. Arnold. Say, I thought you'd be glad to get the info.
Oh, we are. You'll sign this statement and be ready to be called any time as a witness?
Sure. Here's my address. I'll come any time you want me. Can I go now? It's a long trip over to Newark. And, Mr. Arnold, will you tell Marge about the money I made? I wrote Ma all about it, but I haven't got an answer yet.
Your mother's here in New York staying with the girls at their apartment.
Oh, gee, is she? Well, I'll come over and see you tomorrow after work.
I'll tell Margie, Jimmy.
Well, you won't be needing this young fella anymore tonight, will you?
No, just a minute, Jimmy, before you go. I have here in front of me Pat's statement. He says the night Hunt was murdered, you came into the theater before Mert and Marge. That was the first time. Now, that must have been before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I guess it was. Pat the doorman was reading a newspaper, and he told me to get out.
Pat said you were wild-looking.
Yeah, that Pat made me wild. I was mad.
Well, then, Jimmy, if the girls hadn't come into the theater yet when you came the first time, why didn't you wait for them outside so you could have seen them when they did come in?
Well, I did wait for them outside. That's when I told you I went out to the front of the theater and was looking at the pictures, and I suppose I missed them when they went in.
Jimmy, do you mean to say that after you came in the first time, before 8 o'clock, you were out in front of the theater in the lobby looking at the pictures until you came back the second time?
Yeah, because the second time I came back is when I saw that Vivian open that office door.
What time was that, Jimmy?
Well, I looked at the clock in the doorman's office, and it was about 18 or 19 minutes after 8.
And you were out in front of the theater all that time, from just before 8 o'clock until you came back at about 18 minutes after 8, eh?
Yeah, I got to talking with a fella in the green uniform out front, and we were, well, just discussing things.
What things?
Oh, I told him about my sister Marge being in the show and what a swell dancer she was.
How long did you talk to him?
All the time I wasn't looking at the pictures.
Well, Arnold, it's getting more complicated every minute, isn't it?
Well, I'll question this James, what is his name? James Bidwell, the starter in front of Hayfield.
He's already been questioned. He's already signed a statement. Here, I'll show it to you, Arnold. He said he talked for over 10 minutes to a young fella in front of the theater who said he had a sister Marge working in the show.
Oh. All right, Jimmy. Thanks. You can go now.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Arnold.
See you later.
Yeah.
Now, Arnold, don't you think you'd better be getting down to brass tacks? You know who killed Ray Hunt. What's the use of protecting the Spear girl?
I am not protecting anyone, O'Toole.
But you're making no attempt to get any evidence, Arnold.
Well, you've made every effort to pin it on her.
Yes, Arnold. Well, you've been running around in circles.
Well, we'll see about that.
My boy, take off those smoke glasses.
Jimmy has given evidence that eliminates Vivian Clark as a suspect in the killing of Ray Hunt. Only Mert is left, and Captain O'Toole has announced openly that he is ready to break the case. Will there be some surprise development that might save Mert? Who killed Ray Hunt? Be sure to hear the next exciting chapter in the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.